Would you please open your Bible to Psalm 90, 90, Psalm 90. Make sure you have that paper ready. Psalm 90. Now, once you have reached Psalm 90, what I'd like you to do is take that paper, and I want you to write down, let's say, at least three things, if you can think of them. And you might think of five, I don't know. But three things that you would like to get done each week, but you just can't figure out how. Could have said three things each day, but let's just stretch it out for the week. Three things you'd like to get done each week, but you just don't see how you can do it. Write those down. Doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to get all spiritual, or you can get all spiritual. Whatever you would like. And those of you at home, write it down. Because I believe that each of us think about our lives, there are things that we'd like to get done, things we'd like to do each week, but it just doesn't seem to work out. You'll understand why you're writing those down in just a moment. At least three things that you'd like to do each week. And you might write down, well, what I'd like to do each week is do this every day. Or do this every other day. It's just, you know, doesn't have to be a one time a week thing. It's just three things minimum that you'd like to do each week, but you just don't seem to be able to get it done. Maybe some weeks you've accomplished this, or maybe on this list there'll be things that you've never done, but it's you know, boy, I'd like to start this. I'd like to do this. But go ahead and make note of those. We're not going to linger for a long time. And those of you listening, if you want to pause the recording, you can. Now, I'm sure most of you are probably done writing things down. There is a word that appears 53 times in the New Testament. And I'm going to spell it for you. It is the word C-H-R-O-N-O-S. C-H-R-O-N-O-S. It's the Greek word chronos. And that word defined means time quantitatively as a period measured by the succession of objects and events and denotes the passing of moments. A period of measured time. One way you could put it very simply would be the ticking of the clock. The word chronos. It's where we get the word chronometer. And a watch is sometimes referred to as a chronometer. Okay. It's a watch when it's inexpensive. But when it costs you a few thousand dollars, then it's called a chronometer. They just want to impress you, okay? It's like, I don't wear a watch. I wear a chronometer. Yeah, it's a watch. Okay. How many of you remember many years ago, there was a song by the Steve Miller Band entitled Fly Like an Eagle. And there was a phrase in that song that was repeated often. It says, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Now, I probably ruined this evening because for the rest of the night, yeah, time keeps on slipping. You're going to be sitting there. Yeah. Okay, try to tone that down. Turn the volume on that one down a little bit there, okay? But you know that song is, it's so true. Time keeps slipping into the future. How many times have you said, you know, I just don't know where the time goes? Well, listen to the song. It keeps slipping into the future. And it's really interesting how that God created time. But yet he exists outside of time. He is not bound by time. But we are. In this world, we're bound by time. So God, he started time. And once he started it, There's no stopping it. Just keeps going, and keeps going. No matter what you do, you can dig in your heels. I will not get older, but you're going to get older. This whole aspect of time is something that we can use or abuse, but you can't change it. And this is really interesting because when it comes to time, it is the one thing all humans have equally. Doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter your skin color, it doesn't matter where you were raised, how you were raised, it doesn't matter. We all have 24 hours a day, that's it. And you cannot change it with anything. Now, I know you watch movies and time travel and all that, and you know, when I see these movies about time travel, they're entertaining, but I just sit there, and at least in my mind, I am poking holes in that logic the whole time. No, that can't have happened because, no, you can't do that because, no, this would be impossible. And people talk about, well, maybe someday science can figure out how to, like, go back in time. No, you can't. You can't. That's never going to happen. I don't care who you listen to, it's never going to happen. Because if you could go back in time, your existence at a previous point in time can alter all of future, everything. You go back in time, and there you are standing on a sidewalk minding your own business. Somebody walks around the corner and bumps into you. Oh, excuse me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's okay. Oh, yeah, you know, beautiful day, isn't it? Blah, blah, blah. You delay them by 15 seconds. And that 15-second delay can impact all the future for the entire world. Because that could be an important person who gets assassinated in 15 seconds. But you just prevented it, yet that assassination changed the events of human history. You understand what I'm getting at? I know assassination, that's morbid, but it makes a difference, a huge difference. So time travel is not going to happen. If it could happen, Satan would motivate somebody to go back in time to keep Jesus from being crucified. Why not? You know, keep him from being crucified and I don't end up getting sent to hell for all eternity. So, yeah, I'll fix that. No, time travel is impossible. We all have 24 hours. It's slipping into the future, and there's nothing we can do. Absolutely nothing we can do. Time is more valuable than money. Because if you manage your time right, you can actually impact yourself financially. But you cannot use money to fix your time issues. Unless you use money to hire somebody to do a lot of mundane things for you so you have more time to do other things. You follow this? This is one of the reasons why it is so important for a church, if the church is able to not only pay the pastor good full-time wages, but also to hire full-time staff. And the staff, or it can be, you know, volunteer staff, but that the staff does everything perfectly as unto the Lord, so the pastor doesn't have to come back in and fix it. I'm not casting stones here, but this is the way it is for every church. The goal of a church should be to free up the pastor's time as much as possible and then demand that the pastor spend time with God. Just like in the book of Acts, they said, we don't have time to wait on tables. We have to give ourselves to prayer and the word. Remember that, the apostles? And this is interesting because in many churches, the churches expect the pastor to be in there hands-on with everything. That is one of the most foolish expectations a church can have. Well, why isn't he down here cleaning? Well, how come he's not? Maybe he's praying. Well, he's got all the time in the world to pray. He doesn't do nothing except, you know, preach on Sundays and Wednesdays. And I know that that sounds a little sarcastic, but for some Christians, that's it almost like that's what they think. Well, in some cases, maybe they're right. I don't know. I guess it depends on the church. But time is the most valuable thing that we have. I learned, well, and I'll just fess up to you, time management has been a real battle for me. Because over the years of ministry, I've had to deal with things that I really shouldn't have to deal with. But, you know, that's the way it is. And the whole aspect of time management, the Lord's really had to help me with this. Because I have to, well, and it's not just me. You have to come to the place of evaluating what means more. My time spent doing this. Okay, let me just say it like this. My time spent at home listening to a sermon, or my time spent going out to buy such and such that I could buy online and have shipped to my home. And in doing so, it's going to cost me an extra $15 to have it shipped. But how much time is it going to take me to drive from home to the store, find what I'm looking for, stand in line and pay for it, and then drive back home? Which means more, the extra $15 or my time? For me, I really had to go through, and I'm getting even better than this in this, of evaluating what means more, my time or saving a few dollars because it's on sale. Now, sometimes, you know, you have to go out and you do things. I mean, that's just the way it is. Sooner or later, you got to leave the house and go do something. You can't have gas for the car brought to your house by Amazon. At least not yet. Who knows what's coming? But there are times when, yeah, you need to go out. Now, I try to take advantage of those times, those when I have to go out, those trips, and do it the best way I can so that I'm not spending a whole lot of time doing those things. I didn't used to be like that. And I know that a lot of things, well, you can buy them online. That is true. But there are some things I do not want to buy online. I flat out don't. I don't want to buy certain electronic equipment online. I want to go and buy it and look at it and touch it and feel it and hug it. I want to make sure it is what I want. I want to make sure it's going to do what I want. And sometimes you can't tell online what you're getting. But a lot of things I now order online that I didn't used to. Example. Used to, I would shop for the best bargain for paper. You know, like copier paper for the church. And when I would find it, you know, here's a sale, Office Depot, whatever. But now I look online and I evaluate, okay, how much is it going to cost for the shipping? Combined with the price of the paper. And compare that to the time it's going to take me to go get it. And so as of late, the paper, envelopes, blank CDs, things like that, I order, I have it shipped. Because I don't want to take the time to go out and do that stuff. I'm at the point now, I don't even like to take the time and go get a haircut. But it's one of those things, you know, got to do. I don't like to take the time to go do, I want to stay home. I like being home anyway. But I had to learn that by virtue of God. I don't know if I want to use the word convicting me, but addressing this with me and bringing it to my attention, what are you doing with your time? Every one of us in here, we have time thieves all over the place. You know, I realized, you know, I shared this morning about how that I don't watch as much college football as I used to. It's a time thief. Oh, it's very, to me, it's very entertaining. I like to watch the games. But it's a time thief. I remember years ago, I was watching a movie on TV. I'd never seen it before. I think it might have been a Western, and it was pretty interesting. And I, on purpose, I watched that movie halfway through. And I got up, boom, turned the TV off, and walked away. I tortured myself on purpose because if I cannot conquer a good, clean movie on TV, I've got a problem. And to this day, I don't remember what the movie was. I don't know how it ended, etc. and so forth. But I know the good guys probably won. But I did that on purpose to address my time issue. Every one of us in here, we have time thieves. And some of these time thieves are projects that we add to our lives. And that's a major that is a major issue when you're in ministry. Because there's so much that needs to be done. So much. And there are things that I could delegate to other people, but until I find other people who can do it and do it right, I can't delegate. I have to be the one to do it. That steals my time. But there is grace to help me through it. Because God knows there's nobody else that I'm aware of that can do some of these things. I'm it. I don't like it, but at least it gets done, and it gets done right. You can't just hand things over to people and just whatever the result is, let it go. No, I mean, you just can't do that. Because the end result is supposed to be something that is honoring God and is going to touch the lives of people. And when folks don't do what they're supposed to do, well, then, you know, you're just going to have to do it your own self. And that's just the way it is. However, when we allow things, okay, in the world they'll tell you, well, you need to have hobbies in life, right? You need to have something. You need to have an outlet. Okay, my outlet is listening to sermons and praying and following along in Scripture. And okay, that's my outlet. Now, some people would say, good glory, how boring. I mean, come on, you got to have something really interesting. Well, that's an odd thing to say because I find that really interesting. Well, that's because you're a pastor. I'd like to think it's because I'm a Christian pressing into God. Personally, I think if Christians don't have that kind of desire, they need to grow into it. Now, I don't need, there are things I'd like to do, you know, non-spiritual things, but I don't have time. And that's frustrating for me in that there was a period in my life where I would do a lot of things, not bad things, just do things. But then God's been dealing with me over time. Do you really need to do all of that? You know, what is the priority? What do you really need to be doing? Now, I don't have it perfected, but I'm better now than what I used to be. If Satan cannot get us into sin or false doctrine, but he can get us to mismanage our time, he has won a major victory. A major victory. And we don't even know it. Well, I'm not in sin, and I'm not doing a bunch of stuff that, you know, like, you know, bad habits or whatever. I mean, I'm not doing that. But if he can steal our time, one of the worst time thieves, your family. Because if Satan can find a family member to drain the life out of your time, he's going to keep using that person over and over again, and you will be manipulated into a false sense of guilt and responsibility for that person. And your time will be destroyed. Christians, for the most part, do not know how to turn people over to God. And they assume the responsibility for their souls. Now, some people would hear this sermon and say, well, you're just saying that we should neglect. I am not saying we should neglect. But if you seek God, He's going to help you understand if it's a mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, child, cousin, nephew, aunt. I mean, He's going to help you understand who in your family is a time thief if you have one. And it could be a friend. Every now and then, you know, I've shared before, not every day, but many days, I'll read Dear Abby for entertainment. Because I just can't believe the way people are and how ignorant people are. And you're going to trust this lady in a newspaper? Anyway, nothing personal, never met her. But I read some of these things, and the way people talk about family members and friends who just drain their time. And I'm thinking, seriously, man, wake up. Some people work in places where if they do not stand up for themselves, their bosses will drain their time. And there'll be nothing left. They will wear you to a frazzle. And there comes a point you have to stand up for yourself. Intimidating bosses sometimes need to be addressed. But again, God will give you the wisdom on how to deal with this. Time management, believe it or not, is a subject that is addressed in Scripture. But many people may not realize it as such. Now, you're in Psalm chapter 90. We're going to read, starting here in Psalm chapter 90, we're going to start reading a few verses in Scripture. And I'm going to show this to you. In Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I mean, if that's not time management, I don't know what is. And remember I shared earlier, write down three things, at least three things that you'd like to get done every week. Well, here you go. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Look in Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verse 3. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. There's time management. I'm going to make this a priority. I will not call my day done until I have found a habitation. You say, well, what does that mean? Until I've spent time in the bedroom, bathroom, basement, closet, attic, garage. You understand what I'm saying? I will not call my day done until I have established a habitation for God. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, I'm not an early riser. Some people are. I know Pastor Bronk Flint, he likes to get up about 5 o'clock every morning, and he'll spend time with the Lord, and later on during the day, you know, he'll probably take a nap. And that's just how he is. Well, see, I've never been a really, well, that's not true. When I had a job at one time, I had to be there at 6:30 in the morning, so I was an early riser. But I don't have that kind of, at this point in time, my schedule is not get up at 5 and then take a nap in the afternoon. I don't like to take naps that much. I admit sometimes I actually fall asleep sitting in my chair. That's not common, but it's happened. But I don't really like to take naps because sometimes I feel groggy after the nap. And so for me, I'll get up later than 5 o'clock, but then I'm up the whole day. That's it. I'm up. In Proverbs chapter 20. Now this whole thing about, you know, those that seek me early, think about it like this. Those that make a priority of seeking me will find me. Because, you know, you have morning people, you have non-morning early people and late people, okay? You can train yourself to get up earlier. You know, if you're used to getting up at 9, okay, I don't know what time you get up, but if you're used to getting up at 9, set your clock for 8:45. Then after you've gotten your body accustomed to the 8:45, back it up to 8:30. And then after you're accustomed to the 8:30, back it up to 8:15. In other words, you can, over time, adjust your internal clock. What's really interesting, for me, when I go to bed on Saturday night, my clock is set for 6:15. I cannot tell you how many times I will wake up between 5 and 6 on Sunday mornings. That doesn't happen other days, but Sunday mornings it does. Something inside of me, my clock, my alarm is going off. And I look at the clock, no. I got another hour to go, please, and go back to sleep. And then it's like, you know, the eyes, they don't want to stay closed. It's like, this is not right. I want my sleep. But you can train yourself. I mean, if that's something that you want to do, if it's something that's beneficial for you. But Psalm chapter 20, verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Well, again, what we see here is time management. Proverbs 20, verse 13, don't be lazy, because you can train yourself to be lazy. Here we see time management. He's saying, get your act together. Look over in Ecclesiastes. Now this next one, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a whole lot of imagery that's used. And if this passage, I mean, it was a major song at one time back in the 60s. But look here, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time. To everything, turn. Okay, yeah. We just replaced, you know, flies like an eagle with, you know, turn. Who knows, we might hit the village people for the turn. Now you're thinking YMCA, okay. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Okay, there's a lot of stuff there. But when I read this, what I'm seeing is there is a time for something. Manage your time. When it's time, okay, just look in what, verse 8. When it's time to love, don't hate. When it's time to hate, don't love. Now, you understand what I'm talking about here. I mean, he's not saying go out and hate everybody. You know, when it's time for war, don't have time for peace. When it's time to rend, you know, don't sow. There is a time. And if you don't manage your time, then you're not going to be able to find the time to weep. Find the time to rejoice. Well, I don't have time for this because why? You know, I shared, it was a long time ago. Time is a vacuum. It will be filled. There's no, what are you doing? I ain't doing nothing. Yeah, you are. You're doing something because time is a vacuum. So your nothing really means you're sitting there. There is a time to sit. Be still and know that I am God. There is a time for relaxation. There is a time for entertainment. Serving God is not all work. Serving God is not all pray. But there is a time. There is a time. And when we manage our time, we'll know what time is it. Look over in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. I will manage my time so that I can seek you. Now, many times you'll hear people talk about, well, how much time should I pray? Well, you have to give at least an hour. You have to give, okay, let's say that that is your goal, an hour a day. Well, it doesn't have to be all at one time. What if you break it up for 15-minute segments? Or maybe you can do two 30-minute segments. Or maybe you can do a one-hour segment. The point I'm making is, when it comes to time management, if you don't watch out, you can start getting into a legalism that will put you in bondage. One of the best things in the world for time management is to be strictly flexible. Or flexibly strict. Meaning, things happen that you're not prepared for, and it will mess up your schedule. Me, I'm one of these kind of people. You ever watch that TV show, Monk? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. I have a little too much Monk in me. To where, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be the other way. No, do not lay it like that. The other way. Turn it. Seriously, I'm like that too much. And when it comes to time, this is how it's supposed to be. But then something happens and interrupts that. And I kind of go, tilt, wait a minute, okay, reboot. No, this isn't right. But sometimes you don't have a choice. You know, the car messes up. You have to take the time to get it fixed. So that interrupts everything. I don't like that. You know, I tend to be rigid. I'd have probably made a great general in the army. Drop and give me 50 and you got 5 minutes. Now, look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And this one's interesting because, quite frankly, I had not previously thought of this verse as a time management verse. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I had never really seen that as being a way to structure time, my time for doing things. I'd always seen that as, okay, I don't seek the worldly things, I seek the things of God. But how do I do that? If I don't have some time for that, well, I can't seek first. And here's what's interesting. If I don't set time to seek first the things of God, then the time that I would be using to seek first the things of God, I'm using it to seek something else. So this is a time management verse. Now look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And take a look beginning in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We live in an evil world, and there's a lot of influence that is evil, and there is influence that is distracting. Redeem the time. I have 24 hours. Now I've got to do something with it. I have a job. You know, I work, you know, first shift or second shift or whatever it would be. Or sometimes my shifts get rotated. But I have a job. Then, you know, got a wife, got a husband, got kids, got a dog, got two dogs, got three dogs, a couple of cats. Now, I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm not even going to look at the camera when I say this, but you know what? For some people, their pets are the worst time thief in their lives, and they need to go. Now I'm going to look up. That sounds cruel. I know. I know it sounds cruel. But pets, they'll drain your time and they will drain your money. How much money have you spent on... Okay, here's one of the greatest lies. I mean, we ought to have a book. Greatest lies perpetrated upon humanity. Your kids need a pet. No, they don't. No, they don't. Pets then become a distraction. I'm not anti-animals, okay? Don't think, you know, that cruel bum. No. I'm not anti-animals. What I'm saying is, the world will tell you, you need other things to bring balance into your life. And one of those things that they will tell some people is, you need a pet. No, you don't. You don't need a pet. You don't need a dog. You don't need a cat. You don't need a guinea pig. You don't need a parakeet. You don't need a wildebeest. You don't need a pet. A pet is a luxury. How many times are you going to have to clean up after the thing? How many times you got to go to the vet? I'm not trying to control your life. What I'm saying is, think about this. Well, yeah, but, you know, it's going to be too hard to get rid of, you know, Fluffy. Look, this is between you and God, okay? Don't be sending me your mean emails now. Don't you do it. Yeah, but my pet is the only real companionship I have in life. Are you a Christian?
Right.
And see, what happens is some people become codependent with an animal. Now, I'm not trying to stir things up here. I'm trying to help you understand. Seek first the kingdom of God and redeem the time. Remember, seek God and find out, what are the time thieves in your life? Oh, the Lord just said to me, there are Christian parents who buy their kids pets so that the parents don't have to give as much time to the children. Go play with the dog. Wow. Yeah, that was from the Lord. So I just ask to whomever here out there listening, you know, is that you? And if so, you need to get rid of that pet. Get rid of your kennel. redeem the time. Redeem the time. Now, what I have for you tonight, if you want it, you don't have to take this, it's totally up to you. I have here a time management log. Have you ever felt like, I don't know where the time goes? Okay, well, this is going to help you find out. It goes from midnight to midnight. And you fill it out. In other words, you know, well, from 11 p.m. until whenever it is you get up, I sleep. Okay, well, then those are blocked out. And then I get up at 6. And from 6 to 7:30, I'm getting ready to go to work. 7:30 to 8, I'm driving to work. From 8 until 5, I'm at work. Then, okay, you follow what I'm saying? You can take one of these, make all the copies you want, use them, and this is going to reveal to you what's going on in your life. Now, we make extra copies. You can, you know, one sheet per day, but you can take as many as you want because, you know, we'll just order more paper to be delivered. That's okay. We'll make more copies for you. But the point I'm getting at is this, and don't get all spiritual. All right? Come on. If you haven't been praying for the last 4 years, don't all of a sudden, you're not turning this into me. You live life the way you've been living. Don't change anything. And just fill it out as you go. Make notes over here on the side if you want to. And after you've done this, and again, please, there's no pressure. Nobody has to do this. I'm just making this available if you want. Now, it's going to take a little effort to track all this. And it's broken down, you know, there are like 24 spots here. So you got 24 hours. But when you do this, do it for, you know, at least a week or longer to get an idea of what your typical week is like. and then take a hard look at it, and some things you're not going to be able to change. You need sleep, all right? You have a job, you got to work. And please, you definitely need to shower, okay? So we're not going to eliminate shower time. There's some things you're not going to change. But then there are some things you're like, okay, that is showing up too much on my timesheet. I can change that. Instead of 4 hours of TV a night, cut it back to 3. What? I don't know. This is totally between you, yourself, and you, and God. And if you don't want to do this, it's okay. Because, you know, you might be one of these people that's very structured in your life. And you basically have your life laid out already. I mean, you know what's going on. Hey, praise God. You know, seriously. You know, I'm proud of you. But if you want one of these or more, you can take one. The goal is for us to come to a place of being more structured in our lives so that we're not having time stolen and not even realizing that the time is stolen. So think about this, because the one thing that we don't want to do, we don't want to stand before God and have Him, you know, show the video of our life and point out all the time that we wasted. Up until now, all that wasted time, you can't go back and unwaste it. But what you can do is start making the effort to redeem the time now. And again, there are things that you have to do, and that's okay. But there are some things that maybe you don't have to do, but you've made them a have to do. And in the process of this, who knows? You may have to, let's just say, address some things with family members and explain to them, I'm sorry, but this that you're asking, this is something you can do, and you know you can do it. I can't be doing this for you anymore because I'm trying to get my life in order. If they get mad, you have just learned something about that person. They really don't care about you the way they say. Okay, that's all I have as far as this is concerned right now. It's all the Lord wants me to share. So everybody, go ahead and stand.